What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 79, and this episode is brought to you by Zalman. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman, it'll show you kind of what they're featuring right now. And with me on Sunday instead of Friday, we have Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up?
You don't seem very excited for the podcast.
It's just a Sunday, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel like that. I kind of feel like I would just want to sit in front of the TV today, but we're doing the podcast, so.
Yeah, busy Friday.
Yes, yeah, real busy Friday, so a couple days late. But we'll jump right into our reviews this week. And first up, I took a look at the Kingston SSD Now UV400, and that is their latest entry-level solid-state drive. So we've seen a lot of these come out. You know, so many companies are making solid-state drives more affordable for the consumer. While a lot of these drives do have some faults, it's still so much better than using a regular traditional hard drive. The speed and the durability is so much better than a traditional hard drive. So with this drive, the UV400, it is a TLC NAND-based drive, and this is what a lot of these entry-level drives are based off of. The TLC NAND is much cheaper. And this drive is powered by the Marvel 88SS1074. It's a 4-channel controller. And then the NAND is made by Toshiba, of course. This drive has sequential read and write speeds of 550 megabytes a second read and 500 megabytes a second write. So again, you're getting much, much faster speeds than your traditional solid-state drive, or traditional hard drive, I mean. And this came as an SSD upgrade kit. So this is really great. And Kingston is one of the only companies still offering this upgrade kit. So the upgrade kit comes with like the 3.5-inch adapter. If you have an older case that doesn't have SSD mounts, it comes with even a SATA power cable, SATA data cable. And it comes with an external enclosure if you happen to want to use that. So, and the difference in price is only like $5 to $10. So if you happen to want going to be using anything in the upgrade kit, just go ahead and do it. And the only downfall with this drive is pretty much every TLC based drive is that it makes use of SLC caching. And what that means is that there's a cache chip on the drive itself. And if you're doing very heavy writes, very multiple gigabyte transfers as far as the file size, so if I'm doing like an 8 gig file, my write speed is going to start around 500 megabytes a second, but it's going to instantly drop down once that cache is full. That is a fault with all TLC-based solid-state drives for the most part. But a lot of people won't really see this because the cache always gets flushed all the time. And if you're doing like small files, like, you know, MP3 or text file or photos, you won't even notice this issue. But that's the only downfall of the drive. I think it's a really great drive and it's priced very, very well. The 480 gigabyte drive, which we reviewed, is only $110.99. So it's pretty awesome. And that's the that's the drive itself. And then the upgrade kit comes in at $145, which seems really much higher than I thought it would be. But still, 480 gig drive, $116. Kingston offers their 3-year warranty on it as well. So it's pretty good drive. Definitely one that I would recommend if you're looking for a low-cost solid-state drive.
Yeah, I have a terabyte for $110, $120. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah,
and it's basically, I mean, you're gonna have pretty similar performance across.
Yeah, again, a lot of people are worried about that SLC caching, but again, if you're not doing heavy writes, multiple, you know, it's around like 6 to 8 gigabytes is once you'll see that drop. So if you're not doing writes like that, you won't even notice the difference, and you have the durability factor compared to a normal hard drive, and of course the speed factor as well. So.
Yeah, seems like a good drive.
Yeah, it is. It's a good drive. It's Kingston's first commercially available TLC-based drive. They had one a couple years ago that came out in a couple regions, but not worldwide. This is the first worldwide one. And it's just a solid drive all around. The only issue is with the SLC caching. So definitely check it out. If you're looking for a low-cost solid-state drive, it's still going to give you really good performance. And that moves us on to a case. And we haven't taken a look at any cases from Azza in a while, and they sent us their Taurus 5000. If you know anything about Azza, they really like full tower cases.
Really?
Yeah.
Outlandish designs.
Yeah. Pretty crazy designs, and this one's not as crazy, but it is still that full tower, which of course is great to see. And it has some pretty cool features. One of the best features of this case is that it comes with 5 fans included. And that is, you never see that anymore. You see 3 on a case like this typically. So having 5 fans, 4 of the fans are LED fans too. So you get a little style in there with it. On top of that, the side panel window has RGB LEDs in it, which is also really cool. So if you're looking for a case that's really going to stand out, this is going to be that case. Super easy to build in, lots of room. The only downfall of this case is that it's just internally it seems a little dated for me. Being a full tower, I would have liked a lot more water cooling options. They're just not there.
It uses
a traditional cage design for all of the hard drives. Being a full tower, especially with the backside of the motherboard, I feel they could have taken advantage of that for SSDs, which is becoming commonplace now also. So it felt a little bit dated. I still think it's not bad if you're looking for a full tower, especially if you're going to be doing all air cooling. Again, 5 fans included, which is pretty awesome. And it has all the lights. So there's a lot of lights on this case. So if you want to stand out, it is a case that you can definitely do that with. And it's only $115, which isn't bad for a full tower either.
Yeah, the price kind of saves it a bit. It's totally that traditional, though, interior layout with all the drive bays in the front.
Yeah.
It's just like a stacked column of them, which is, we want to have those completely removable. Are they removable? Or is it...
You can remove them, yes.
Okay, well, it says that.
Yeah, you can remove the drive cages, but again, compared to NZXT, to Corsair, to especially those two, I would say, you know, it is just a little dated inside.
Yeah.
But again...
I assume it's a steel build.
Yeah, it's a steel tower.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Covers, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a typical Azza design that we're used to seeing. If you are looking for a full tower in this price range, this is a pretty good tower, especially, again, 5 fans included. I think that's such a big plus because this is a big case, and if you have a lot of hard drives and you have a lot of stuff going on, you're going to be wanting to move a lot of air anyways, so you have the ability to do that with this. And the RGB LEDs on the side are actually pretty cool.
That's the first time we've seen a case come with them in the window.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool.
That we've reviewed, at least. I don't know if there's any other cases out there that have that, but it's definitely a cool case. Easy to build into, you know. But it's just, if you're looking to do water cooling, you're a little limited on this case, which is kind of disappointing.
Because
it is so big.
That is like the trend these days.
Definitely check out my review, and you can see what that is all about. And we will move on to Case Mod Friday, and we have a really awesome build here. Case Mod Friday is a section of our site where we cover a build or mod that's been completed in the community, and this week we have our first build, I believe, in Corsair's new Air 740. And this one is from a guy called Lavins. And this build, there's not a whole lot of modding going on, but it's just a lot of water cooling. Super clean build, which I love. It just looks awesome.
Yeah, got some light strips, custom sleeving, and just a really well put together thing.
Yes.
It's a cool looking case, too. It's more vertical than it is horizontal.
Yes.
So it kind of gives it the whole build a different appearance.
Yeah, it's good to actually see a build in this case because you're kind of wondering how things were kind of going to go along in this case. It's not shown in this build, but I believe the other side of the case is used for storage and all that, you know?
Oh, that's right. That's what this case is.
Yeah. But it's just, it's such a clean build, and his photography is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it looks like he polished all the blocks, all the water blocks. Yeah. They look really awesome as well.
Is the side window come with that Corsair symbol?
I believe not.
Okay, so you got that done, and it's really, really clear.
Yeah. And the hard tubing's really well done, it looks like.
Yeah, he's got
custom sleeving.
Full blocks on the whole motherboard. Yeah, the custom sleeving.
Custom sleeving. It's just like a nice build. I like when people put these together because it's just really well done. It's just clean. It's nice. It's something you would want on your desk, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think that this case, it's like a cube case, would be really nice to have, actually.
Yeah, especially for you. People do a lot of water cooling. This
just,
is
like, when you've got the separate chamber, it takes away the headache of figuring out where you're gonna put all the other stuff.
Yeah.
And so then you have one whole side of it just as like a display chamber. So.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, the Corsair Air 740 was just released by Corsair, and it's sort of a larger cube style case. And on one chamber, you have room for your motherboard, graphics card, and all of your, for the most part, all of your cooling. And then on the opposite side, you have your power supply and your storage. So as Derek said, it makes it much easier if you're doing, say, a water cooling build, so you can have everything in one compartment. You don't have to worry about anything else. This build, if you want to see a really awesome build in the case, definitely check out this build from our Case Mod Friday section, because it's awesome.
Yeah.
It looks really great. I really want this case.
Get a review sample possibly.
Yeah, it's a nice case, and it does have the hinged door, which Corsair has been using on a lot of their cases, and it's really awesome. It makes it really easy to get inside your system and open it up and all that, so really cool.
Yeah, it's got the handle in it too, which is like, I know it's extremely functional, but I don't like the way it looks personally.
Yeah, because it kind of blocks whatever you're trying to show off, because it does have that large,
yeah, it's a good size handle that like is recessed into the door itself. Yeah. I'd rather see just like some tabs in the top parts of the door that just kind of, you know, click.
Yeah, that would be.
But that's kind of just Corsair's thing. I think that's their pretty standard door for the past.
Yes.
Year, couple years.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
They've been using that one. Yeah. So definitely check that out. Super clean build. I love clean builds like this. But if you're not into this clean build, we have a full section on our Case Mod Friday section of the site. So if you're looking for like a theme build or something, or just inspiration for your next build, definitely check it out. You just click on Case Mod Friday on the site and you'll be able to see it.
Nice.
And we are running a contest right now, for those who do not know, or a giveaway, because you really don't have to do much to enter. We're giving away one of the Sumo Air lounge chairs, and we posted this review last week, and these are extremely functional, very comfortable, and we're giving you one for free. So we have the giveaway page, and it shows you everything you have to do. We're running it through Facebook, which we do most of our contests, so it's super easy to enter. You just have to like us, like Sumo Lounge, and share and like our post about it on Facebook, and then just fill out our entry form so we have your email address, so we can email you if you want. It is US and Canada only, but definitely get your entry in. We haven't had a contest in a while. We actually have a couple coming up, I think two more at least coming up in the next couple months, so definitely stay tuned. We definitely want to give you guys, our listeners and our readers, you know, some stuff just for, you know...
Yeah.
Just for being around, being part of our community. So we have some cool stuff to give away in the next couple weeks. So definitely stay tuned. And that brings us to our news for the week. And a lot of, I would say some more exciting things, especially if you're into AMD. And there's a really cool NVIDIA story this week as well. So we'll start with AMD. And it has been speculated that AMD will announce their first HBM2 GPU Vega 10 by the end of the year. I know you're excited for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's all you want is HBM stuff. Yeah. So, according to the leak here, is that AMD will first release the Vega 10 in the professional market. So we'll see professional cards first, and then enthusiast cards will come after that. NVIDIA did the exact same thing. So AMD did confirm that Vega will be launching in the enthusiast market in the first half of 2017. So this announcement in 2016 should be for the professional sector, so the super high-end graphics that are made for servers and things like that. That's what you should see announced in by the end of this year. It might not even be available. It might just, you know, they'll announce it to get hype and get orders for these professional cards. Yeah. And then in 2017, you'll see the professional cards, and then we'll move down to the enthusiast segment, which, of course, all of us are excited for. Also, according to this leak, the top-end Vega 10 GPU will feature up to 16 gigabytes of HBM2 memory, pretty much the same thing that we saw on NVIDIA's P100 cards. And there's going to be a cut-down version of the card as well, obviously for the different SKUs in the segment. But it's exciting. I think we're... Does it seem like our turnaround for graphics is getting faster?
It does feel like it's a shorter cycle.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad. It's good because we want to see faster products, obviously, but it's also kind of bad because I think the market kind of freezes up when it's too quick, because then everyone's like worried about having the next, you know, best thing, and so nobody's buying.
Yeah.
And always holding off. So I don't know.
Yeah, it just seems, especially with AMD, I mean, well, you know, we thought that, you know, originally the RX series we could see a high-end SKU in the RX series, and we never did. Yeah. So obviously these enthusiast grade parts from Vega will be, they should, I mean, from what it will be a high-end part.
I hope so.
To compete against the 1080 series and then whatever NVIDIA has coming out after that.
If they don't, it'll start to become questionable about what they're doing.
Yes.
I'm also hoping that we see something on the consumer level at CES this year.
We should.
Yeah.
I would assume to see something, really. Prototype, something running. And we will definitely...
at least some rumors and systems that reportedly have the cards in them, you know?
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. I think if I was an AMD fan, I would definitely wait for Vega, because you don't, even if you get two RX 480s, it's just, I don't know, that just doesn't
it's
do it for
performance, but it's kind of like an in-between thing.
Yeah, it doesn't really,
all of those cards are, they're simply they're price based.
Yeah, so the RX series just doesn't do it for me if I'm an AMD person. So
especially it'll be, considering that there's rumored to be a 1080 Ti coming out.
I didn't even see that.
Oh, you didn't see that? I saw one article. I didn't even click on it. I just saw the headline.
Oh, interesting. I'll have to look at that.
Soon, so like, yeah, AMD is gonna need. They're gonna need a flagship soon.
Yes.
You can sell a ton of these. I don't know, more moderately priced cards, and that's great. There's a huge, obviously, there's probably the biggest market for those, but you got to have those cards that's like shows that you're winning, right?
Yeah, and the thing is too, it's like, you know, AMD is going to be that middle, that lower brand, because if they don't have something to compete against NVIDIA, really hardcore gamers are like, I want the NVIDIA card. Like, why wouldn't I want the NVIDIA card?
Yeah, you're just going to get stuck and branded essentially as the mediocre.
Yeah, so talking about NVIDIA, it looks like they will be releasing a GeForce GTX 1050, but there will be two variants. There'll be the 1050 Ti and the 1050 normal, non-Ti. The 1050 Ti should come out mid-October, and the less expensive will come out towards the end of October. Both cards will be based on the GP107 silicon, which is a new silicon And the TI variant will max out the chip completely, and of course the non-TI will be a little bit cut down. So the I'm trying to read this. Okay, so the 1050 Ti will have 768 CUDA cores, 48 TMUs, and 32 ROPs, and it will have a clock speed of 1,290 MHz core, and it will boost all the way up to 1,382 MHz, and the GDDR5 will run at 7 GHz. This card will have 4 GB of GDDR5 memory. Across a 128-bit wide memory interface. And then the non-TI version will have 640 CUDA cores and 40 TMUs, and it will have speeds of 1,354 megahertz core, and it'll boost up to 1,455 megahertz, and it will only have 2 gigabytes of GDDR5. So with the TI, you're going to get 2 gigabytes more video memory as well as a more CUDA cores. So that's a big difference. The TI could be $150, where the non-TI could be $120. So if you're in that price range, this could be something to definitely wait for.
Yeah, what is this? What does this get you into? Does this get you 1080p 60 frames per second?
At least the TI should, yeah, with that 4 gigabytes of memory.
Okay.
I think.
That's pretty much good enough, you know?
Yeah. And then that price point, too, is really good enough.
Yeah, this will get you. You could do a build, like a $600 build.
Yeah.
Or something like this.
Yeah, so definitely.
They have these parts available. They're not like. They don't get me excited or anything, but it's good to have them available.
Yeah, especially for people who don't have the money to spend $300 to $600 on a card to get in. And especially. What's exciting about it is if you are in the previous generation of graphics cards, even the 900 series, the boost in performance you get with these lower end cards or anything in this generation is so much better. You're getting more for your money with these, with all of the cards and all, both on the RX series and NVIDIA's 10 series. It's just incredible. So it's really exciting. If, you know, $100 to $150 got you nothing in the previous generation, really.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot with that price point. So that's really exciting.
Nice.
Another interesting story came out this week about NVIDIA, and it's really exciting to me for the fact that, one, this could be a huge moneymaker for NVIDIA, and two, is that we could see Apple computers maybe release a gaming machine, which would be kind of interesting, to say the least. So,
I don't believe it.
The rumor is that NVIDIA could be coming back to Apple computers. For the longest time, I don't know how many years now, AMD has solely been the provider of graphics for Mac computers. That's all you had the ability to get. And the reason why people think that is that NVIDIA just posted a job for a software engineer, which their role would require working in partnership with Apple and writing code that will define and shape the future of graphics related software on Macs. And there's actually a current job listing. There's actually three current job listings on NVIDIA's job database that reference Apple. And all three of them cite development for the Mac. And one actually specifies NVIDIA Mac graphics driver team. So it just seems that NVIDIA could be making their way back to the Mac. And it could be a lot of things. One thing that's really, it could be really great for Mac users is that the graphics acceleration on encoding with Final Cut Pro and Adobe Premiere, which are primarily the applications that people use on Macs. And even with Photoshop, you can do graphics acceleration.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, with the power of the 1080 in a Mac, to do that acceleration would be really awesome, I think, especially for a lot of designers and people who use these products. And then on the other hand, people can speculate that, say, maybe, you know, with the popularity of esports and the popularity of gaming, it's bigger than ever now, that maybe Apple could release a gaming PC of some sorts. Nobody knows. But that's the speculation. But it's just a great thing for NVIDIA to get back in there. It's another customer for them, and it's a big customer.
It's great. I don't see a gaming PC coming from Apple, though.
I don't either.
I don't see that working out for them.
I could see NVIDIA hardware and the Mac Pro, the little Sphere deal. I could see NVIDIA hardware in the Mac PCs, especially, again, for that graphics acceleration in certain applications. And I could even see an NVIDIA SoC in an iPad-like device. The Tegras are super powerful.
Yeah.
That's what I can see.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't see a specifically...
In pricing.
Yes. NVIDIA even more than what they were. Yeah.
So,
It's interesting, though, and I think that it would be... It's just good to see choice, too. Even if you're an Apple user, you know, you have the ability to choose between NVIDIA and AMD. It's kind of nice.
Yep.
So, moving back to AMD, their Enthusiast X370 chipset has been detailed. This is their next generation chipset that will be used on the AM4 platform for the new Zen processor. So we didn't really know about this one. We knew about the B350 and the A320. These were not the super high-end chipset. So the X370 is their going to be their super high-end chipset, more or less like the X99 type deal, or a Z170 type deal, like the Enthusiast high-end chipset. This will have support for both SLI and Crossfire, with at least two PCI Express 3.0 X16 slots. And then obviously, board partners can add more PCI Express lanes through a PLX chip if they want. And it will have, the X370 will have full overclocking. So all of the Zen chips have an unlock multipliers.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. To Intel.
Yeah, so
you don't have to buy a specific chip, they can all be overclocked.
Yeah, so they'll all have unlocked multipliers, and it seems like from what we've heard that AMD will have a GUI type interface that will allow you to properly overclock and tune your system, which if you are an enthusiast, that's something really cool. Mm-hmm. And it'd be interesting to see the overclocking and the temperatures on these new chips, obviously. But that's what we know about that chipset, and it's good to see that because I saw the news a few weeks ago about the A320 and the B350, and I wasn't super excited for it. So to see the X370 and what you're going to get with it, and that they are having a dedicated enthusiast level chipset for AM4, definitely excited for that. So I'm going to have to get some of these AM4 motherboards in, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I'm curious how this, like thermally, how this chip will operate too. We'll see.
Yeah, that's
like active cooling is.
That's a big thing.
It's handling a lot on that board and those boards. It's going to be.
Yeah, so. Thermally, and even with like the power gating and stuff, how it will boost and how it will clock down and things like that. I'm interested to see how well that works because AMD has had issues with that in the past.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. So it's like
just a well built out and flushed out. Setup, I guess, really. Overall setup.
I think everything in this podcast this week, or most of the news, is like stuff that's like coming out in the future. It's like we're getting our first tidbits of news for things that are coming out in the future, which is kind of interesting. And this next story is just about that. So TSMC, which is one of the big foundries, they make all of the silicon for a ton of different products. They announced that they'll be ready to take 7-nanometer orders by April of 2017.
Which we kind of had already known this-ish.
Yes, we knew that 7-nanometer would be ready in 2017. Volume production, we're not specifically sure, but TSMC says that they will be ready for the 7-nanometer node, or at least to take orders for 7-nanometer node by as early as April 2017. That is a huge deal. You know, the TSMC will be switching to 10-nanometer by the end of this year, and then we'll start 7-nanometer trial production in the beginning of 2017. And then, 4 months later. And then as things go along, they'll have volume production. So TSMC makes, obviously, chips for a ton of different things.
Yeah.
when it comes to what, you know, what we know, AMD CPUs, APUs, AMD's GPUs, even NVIDIA chips have been made by TSMC as well.
What was it that AMD said it was going to be GPU that was going to be their first 7-nanometer?
Yes. The upcoming Vega 20 Vega. GPU right. That was leaked last week. That will come after the Vega 10. Right. So that's in the future, but it will be...
But it's still 2017, right? Late, I thought? Or was that later, even?
That's later than that. That could even 2018. Because from what we know, AMD will launch the Vega architecture for enthusiasts in 2017, 18, 19... And then I believe either 19 or 20, they'll move to Navi, if I'm correct, after Vega. I believe so. So they'll have the Vega architecture for a few years. So I would say Vega 10 in 2017, Vega 20 in 2018. And then also the 7-nanometer node is going to be used for the successor to the upcoming Zen architecture, which will be Zen Plus. So a lot of this, again, this 7-nanometer, you probably won't see volume products or actually official products be released on the 7-nanometer node until late 2017 into 2018, I would think.
Yeah.
But they'll be ready to take orders, which means that they're getting out all the kinks and their trial production is going well, which means that they'll be ready to take their full orders once they get up to capacity. So yeah, that's really interesting. And again, it just seems like things are coming along very quickly.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd be dropping to 7 so soon. We're really nearing the limits of what the silicon can do.
Yes.
So we're gonna need graphene or something to step up to the plate here pretty soon, it seems like, with how quickly we're dropping nodes.
Yeah, talking about that, AMD, or it's been released that AMD will launch 7-nanometer Greyhawk quad-core APUs in 2019. And their production comes from GlobalFoundries, which is completely different than TSMC. But the one thing that's really interesting about this, so this will be APU, which is codenamed Greyhawk, and they'll have TDPs of 10 watts.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so 10 watt TDP, which means these could be used for super slim notebooks and other handhelds. There'll be a quad core A thread part that will actually be based on the successor of Zen,
okay.
Which is awesome. It's just like all the stuff that's coming to fruition for hopefully, which we see with Zen and all that. These new products are gonna be ultra powerful, ultra low power, and that just makes it awesome.
Just means mobile and.
Means better battery life too. Like I hate being on a long plane ride and like my battery's like 4 hours, and then I have a new laptop here when my battery is like 12. Like there's a big difference in the architectures. You know what I mean?
Yeah, seriously.
It's really something exciting to in the next couple years. You'll see a lot of really cool stuff, and it's all made possible because of the foundries and the silicon, these things. And just like what we saw going from 28 nanometer down to what, 16, the huge performance increase, you see that.
When you've got everything tightened up so much more, it's easier. You can do things with less energy.
Yeah, for sure. So now we'll move on to stuff that's actually out now and available. X2, which is primarily in Europe, they announced a really interesting case called the Cirrus. And it reminds me a lot of an N1 case. I'm obviously taking
huge cues.
Yeah, some design cues from N1. This is sort of a case that's turned. I don't even know how you would want to explain it. It's hard to explain.
45 degrees, like it's a square chassis, and then they turned it like 45 degrees so that it's on like end. If you picture like a square.
Yeah, sitting on its corner. It's sitting on the corner. Yeah.
And then they kind of just added some metal. Design flair, I guess, around it.
It is a cool case.
It's cool. It's more art than.
Yeah, it's one of those. If you think about those Inwin custom limited edition cases, that's how this is. it seems like a really big case. A lot of water cooling support, a lot of support inside for long graphics cards and things like that. Has a glass, tempered glass side panel, which looks awesome. Yeah. But this is expensive. It is $294.
Which is expensive, but it's actually not even quite up there with InWin cases.
True.
It's more at the lower, or the mid-range InWin cases, I guess I would say. Because they do have some that are fairly affordable.
Yeah. But
this also looks to me like it's going to take up a massive amount of desktop real estate.
Yes. But I think it's made to do that. It's made to be a show-off piece or something like that. I would definitely like to see a build in this or something. To see what's possible and how cool it can look. But it is a really cool case. Now, So there's those handles on the back. Do you think that's how you carry it?
I don't know if that's supposed to be a handle or what. It says, we have limited photos right now, too.
Yeah. One thing with X2 is every time they send me a press release, their photos are so small and they're not very well done. But I still think it's a really cool case. Great to see other companies making these awesome showpieces because, again, with the PC community, you want to show off your build. You want to show off your PC, and this is definitely a case that you can do that with.
Yeah.
So really cool. I believe it is available now, so you should be able to find it somewhere. It's from X2, so us here in the United States, a little harder to find, but you should be able to order it. Somewhere.
An importer somewhere that can get it to you.
Yes. And also on the case front, and this I love this time of year because it's case season. Yeah. A lot of cases get announced now for holiday season. Nanoxia, who we haven't reviewed a case from them in a while.
I have a silent base.
Yeah, there are cases I really did like. But they announced their Project S Silver, and this became super popular. It was first showed at Computex 2015, and it's finally available. And it's a really interesting case. It's a nice looking case by itself, just standing up as a normal case. It looks really nice. Looks really high end. It has a tempered glass side panel, which is really awesome. But what's really interesting about it is the entire motherboard tray and everything from the front of the case pulls out like a drawer.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It's really cool because it makes it easy to upgrade your system, to check things, to do a lot. When we do these builds, it's just so hard to get inside a case sometimes and change things, or you have to change something else. This allows you to put the case on its side and just slide it out like a drawer. Yeah. And we've seen motherboard trays do this, but this is the entire front of the case, basically the entire inside of the case. So even your top cooling, your fans or everything that'd be in the bottom, as well as your power supply and everything, pulls out.
So it doesn't matter like how you have it built up on the inside.
It all has the ability to be pulled out, which again, it just makes it really awesome.
The desk cases.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like the drawer design where it slides out.
Yeah. So this makes it really, it's €249.99, which is about $300, I believe, US.
It's more of a mid, would you say it's more of a mid?
Yeah, it's a mid tower.
So it's kind of a lot for a mid tower.
It is a lot for a mid tower. I'm not sure what is it made out of.
It's aluminum, it might be, but I doubt it.
That
tells me that that there's quite a bit of it made out of steel just because it's Nanoxia.
Yeah.
They're not
aluminum front panel. Yeah, high grade steel. It's steel, and then the front is aluminum.
The Nanoxia isn't. Well, their cases are like. They're pretty nice. They're not high end.
Correct.
Right? So, yeah. I don't think that I would shell out $300 for this, honestly. It's a cool idea, but I don't think it's.
I feel for me, there's a lot of other cases in the 150 to 200 range that I would rather spend money on.
Yeah, there is. It's just kind of cool. That's about.
It's a cool concept, yeah. I think. The price is just a little too much for me.
And then the other thing to consider too, I mean, like it's a good idea the way you could just lay it down and slide it out right, but it's not so like great. Like you still have all your cables and stuff attached, which is gonna like. Hopefully you've got enough. If you've got enough slack, no problem. But I don't know about you, but like some of my cables are like just reaching my case, you know.
Yeah, that's an issue
for different
too.
peripherals, and so like that's not gonna pull through. So you're still unplugging everything, basically,
Yeah.
to mess with it. It's not.
I like the idea. I think the price is too much. If it was all aluminum case, I could justify that price, but it's not. So.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, really, all they did was put what wheels on the side of a case and a track.
Yeah.
I don't see the price premium. I guess is what I'm not seeing.
Yeah, I don't see it either. So. But definitely check it out. It is called the Project S, and it is available now from Nanoxia. So.
And if it wasn't $300, it's actually like a decent looking case as well.
Yeah. Just the price.
Huge tempered glass side panel.
The price doesn't do it with or for us. So.
You know what does do it for me is this next item.
Yes. So Corsair launched their brand new Dominator Platinum Special Edition DDR4 memory. I got to see this at CES. So the Dominator Platinum memory has been out for a while now in DDR4. This is the special edition, and the special edition not only comes in two custom color designs. One is completely all chrome, which looks that's my favorite. It looks awesome. And the other one is like all blacked out, sort of like a matte black. But on top of just the color change to the special edition, all of the ICs on each RAM stick are individually picked. They went over this in detail with me and CES. All of these are individually picked for the best frequencies, for the best overclocking. So you know you're going to have the best memory available.
The best that Corsair can offer.
Yeah, the best that Corsair can offer. There's only 500 kits available in each color. That's it. These are super expensive, but
for PC, that's almost getting to like one off level, you know?
Yeah. So, these are super expensive. But again, you're getting the highest, quality ICs or memory chips on each stick. They look awesome. They're all individually numbered, as well.
Oh, nice.
So you have that too. So.
So these are what they're 3200 megahertz DDR4.
I believe so.
32 gig kits.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely get some 16 gig sticks and slam that X99 board. These things are great.
Yeah, they look awesome. I love the chrome one. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, put them on the MSI board you just reviewed, Bob. And
yeah, that would look awesome. But really, really, really great. So again, if you're looking for like the best kind of DDR4 that you can get,
not necessarily. It might be the fastest, but probably not. There's usually some.
No.
Usually has something fast.
It's not the fastest, but it is. The quality of the chips on the actual PCB are some of the best out there. And the craftsmanship on the cooling and everything like that is top notch.
Is there a price?
Oh man,
expensive.
I forget what I was quoted at CES.
Probably like $500 a kit.
It's not coming up. Hold on.
Even a any Dominator kit is expensive already. So.
Oh, special edition is only $200-$300.
Of these, really?
Oh, that's a 16 gig kit, sorry.
Okay, yeah, just 16.
The Chrome 32 the dual channel 32 gig kits, that's 216 sticks, is $299.
Okay.
The 32 gig kit is 4 8 gig sticks. It's $329.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's not as bad as I thought it would have been.
Yeah, they quoted us a much higher thing at CES, so they brought down the price. At that price, I honestly would get them if I'm doing any type of build that has this, because that just looks sexy as hell.
Yeah. You're going to spend a lot on DDR4, no matter what you go with.
Not a whole lot, but yeah.
It's a lot more than it was for DDR3.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely check these out. They're Corsair's Dominator Platinum Special Editions, and check out the chrome, because they look sick.
Yes.
And our last story has to do with Windows. And Windows 10 has finally reached 400 million users. That gives it a faster adoption rate than Windows 7. And that's kind of to be expected because this is technically was a free operating system.
Yeah, it's not a lot to brag about when you're giving something away.
Yeah. And there's a couple other reasons why I think this number doesn't mean a whole lot. It's great to see. I like to see everybody on the most current software. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, you were on 7 till what? A month ago?
Whenever they ended the...
Yeah.
Right before it became not free.
Yeah. So it's great to see everybody, and it just makes controlling the user base for Microsoft much easier because you're updating everybody at the same time, all that kind of stuff.
You break everybody's computer all at the same time.
Yes. and we have a graph there that shows the adoption rate compared to Windows 8 and Windows 7 and Windows 10. 8 is horrible. 7 is really good, and then 10 is much better.
It's interesting. 8 actually starts out, you can see at like, they're all kind of the same rate-ish, you know, of growth.
Yeah.
And then 8 just, like, takes a dive and never recovers, essentially.
Yeah. But the thing that's interesting about this number in Windows 10 is that, again, it was free. 2 is that Microsoft also is counting Windows 10 phones, as well as Xbox Ones, Surface Hubs, and HoloLens devices.
So they
won. Yeah. And compared to when Windows 7 came out, there are much more devices in the world than when Windows 7 came out. So
yeah, like exponentially more.
So. Yes. So yeah, Rob,
you're like, is your building on fire over there?
Maybe? No, there's a.
No, it's got to be on fire. You should probably get out.
I wish it was on fire. no, there's a fire truck going by, but my at least from what I know, my building's not on fire, so that's good. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week, and I'll be taking a look at a gaming keyboard. I want to get it this week, but it's a really interesting keyboard for a couple different reasons, which I will get to in the review. But it is the Epic Gear Defiant, and they sent us a whole gaming kit that comes with like a carrying case and all that kind of stuff, so it's actually really cool. And I wanted to do a thorough review because it's a little different than most gaming keyboards, so that will be coming next week. And we have a brand new gaming headset from Kingston, their HyperX brand. It's their HyperX Cloud Stinger. And this headset is a stereo headset made to be for pretty much any device. It's super lightweight, very comfortable. And it's just like made to be that all-around gaming headset. It uses their memory foam cushions on the ear cups, which I'm a huge fan of. Like I'm using their Cloud 2 headset right now. Yeah. And it has the exact same memory foam ear cups on it. So these lightweight headsets are becoming extremely popular. A lot of brands are coming out with them just for the fact that we're gaming for more hours now. A lot more people are gaming. And if you have a heavier headset on, it causes strain. Right. So the lightweight ones are really making a comeback. So yeah, that's what we have for next week. Might get to some other stuff. I have a lot of reviews in the works, but those are the ones I know that I'll have done for you guys next week.
Sweet.
And that brings us to the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
What did you do this week?
I didn't do anything bad.
You did nothing.
I worked a lot.
I worked a lot this week too. Yeah. Actually, I have a shared office space now. So I'm pretty pumped about that. My buddy started a company, and he has a shared office space, and asked me if I wanted a desk, and I said yeah. So it's a little transition, but I'm much more productive. So like normally my office is in my house, but now I'm working from there, and I actually get a lot done. So that's good for you guys because I'll be doing a lot more work,
yeah,
or getting a lot more work done. Put it that way. So yeah.
Well, I did. I am up to date on Halt and Catch Fire,
which a lot of people had talked about that. Season. Yes, I'm so behind. I'm like on season 2, so don't tell me anything.
It's worth watching, I'll say.
Yes.
It's a lot of drama, of course, but it's still enough geeky stuff, and it's fun, so.
Yeah. I really like...
Oh, sorry.
I really like the first season. The second season, I started to like, and I just stopped watching it because I got really busy, but I definitely... If you're into any type of computer stuff or tech or anything, it's definitely a show to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I started reading Neuromancer. I'm sure you've probably heard or read this. A lot of people probably haven't read it before, but it's a good book if you've never read it.
I've never read it.
Super, super sci-fi. It's kind of what Blade Runner is based off of.
I'll definitely might have to check that out because I have a long flight coming up in a couple weeks. Which we won't talk about yet, but I have a very long flight coming up, so I need some reading material, so that might be it. And that is that's it for our podcast, guys. As always, we have a full show notes page that has everything that we talked about, so I'm like, check out that build. You can click there, you know, all the stories. You can click through and actually read our full story and get the total story from all of the articles. So until next week, catch you guys later.